Perhaps we could turn to God's precious word, and we're going to read some verses from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. And it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumours of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. But let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to make anything off his house. Neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not, for there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they should deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before, wherefore if they shall say unto you, Behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers. Believe it not, for as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds, and with power and great glory." Amen. We know the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and infallible word to our hearts, for his name's sake. Can we unite together at the throne of grace in prayer and seek the face of the Lord afresh? Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can enter into thy presence afresh. We thank thee for thy word that speaks to us. We thank thee that it brings to our attention things that must shortly come to pass. And we pray that even as we contemplate these things today, that thou wilt speak through thy word to our hearts and bless us as we seek to serve thee. Draw near to us, bless and be with us, for it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ had left the precincts of the temple for the last time. We think of those faithful words in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 34. He said, "Behold, your house is left unto you desolate." The temple, which was the very center of Jewish worship, and the place where the Jews met with their God and God met with them, now had been left desolate by the Lord. And having uttered the words, the Lord left the precincts of the temple and went across the Kidron Valley up onto the Mount of Olives. And isn't it strange that having heard the Lord speak about the fact that the temple was going to be left desolate, that his disciples are so concerned about the stones and about the fabric of the building. We read how they say to the Lord in verses 1 and 2 of Matthew chapter 24, it says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple." But look at the words of the Lord. It says, "And Jesus said unto them, See ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be laid one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." And that prompted a question from the disciples. It is a question that gives a key to the understanding of Matthew chapter 24. And the question is found in verse 3. It says, "And as they sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy kingdom and of the end of the world?" It is a question that is worth considering. It is a question that has been prompted in the minds of many people over the last little while, as we have felt the inroads of the coronavirus, and as it has turned our world upside down, and as we have had to shelter behind closed doors. There are many people who are asking, is this a sign of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? Is it a sign that the Saviour is soon near? And the Lord Jesus Christ answers the question of his disciples, and he begins to unfold the signs that will precede his coming and his kingdom. And I want you to see that there are signs of his coming. There are signs that will precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have many who would say that he will appear without signs. But I want you to see that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks about the signs of his coming. He says, the disciples asked, "When shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and at the end of the world?" And this is what the Lord Jesus Christ is unfolding. In Matthew chapter 24, in verses 32 and 33, the Lord said this to his disciples. He said, "Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When the branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors." So the Lord is saying that as God's people, we can know that his coming is near, even at the doors. And that's something vital we want to see today. There are many who would not treat the matter of the second coming because it's controversial, but it is the great hope of the church. And I hope today that as we look at what the Lord Jesus had to say, that it will give us hope if you're saved. And if you're not saved, that you will turn to find the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. So let's just look for a few minutes at the signs of the second coming of Christ. And I want you to see, first of all, the certainty of the signs. The disciples asked, "When shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And the Lord answers the question. There are those who seem to think there are no signs, but we find that there is a certainty about the signs. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power." And we certainly do not know the exact time. We don't know the exact hour when the Lord Jesus Christ will come again. It says in verse 36 of the chapter, in regard to the end of time, it says, "But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only." Nevertheless, I want you to see that from the passage and others, that there are things that precede the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians, and if you turn over to chapter 5 and verse 2, it says, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." Now, there are those that would believe that that indicates that the Lord would come secretly and without warning. Well, the Lord does come without warning, in the sense that we do not know the day or the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But in the same passage, over there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, if you look at verse 4, but it says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief." And he says, "Ye are the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night, nor of the darkness. Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober." And do you notice what he says? He says that the saints are not in darkness. He says that the saints are to watch. Watch for what? For his coming. How do we know he's coming? Because the Bible says there are signs of his coming. We will not be able to tell exactly when he comes. We'll not be able to tell the day or the hour. But we are warned and we're told that we will be able to tell that it is near, even at the door. And how do you know that? You have to read the signs. You have to see the signs that God has unfolded in his word. But that teaches me something. That teaches me that God has his hands on the affairs of this world. He has a control of the affairs of this world in which we live. And we see that in the book of Daniel. We read how God's judgment was on the king Nebuchadnezzar. And it says in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 17, it says, "This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men." So God is in sovereign control of the affairs of this world. The radical atheists, the humanists, are fighting to rid this land of its Christian heritage today. But I want you to see that at the end of the day, That is a foolish business to be on. God is in control, and one day the Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. But I want you to see the certainty of the signs. The Lord Jesus Christ has given the signs that we are to see. But secondly, I want you to see the care that should be taken with the signs. Because I want you to notice very carefully that the Lord says, what the Lord says about the signs, because there is great confusion about these signs. Now, I want you to see, if you look in Matthew chapter 24, that there is a difference and a contrast between the different of the signs that are here. If you look at verses 4 to 14, you have the present signs. And then if you look in the rest of the chapter, you have the prophetic signs. Now, I want you to see that, because there's a lot of confusion that is brought about these things. Look at verses 6 and 7. It says, "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." Now, it has been the widespread notion amongst many people then that the famines and the pestilences and the earthquakes are signs of the end. People say that's what the Bible says. These are signs of the end. But I want you to see what the Lord Jesus said about these things. He said the end is not yet. He said that these are the beginnings of sorrows. He's saying that these things have been true in the world right from the very beginning. There have always been diseases from man fell in the Garden of Eden. There have been wars and rumors of wars, and all these things have taken place. But he says the end is not yet. And I want you to look at that very carefully. The pestilences and the diseases are indication, the rumors of wars. There certainly will be those when the Son of Man comes. But there have been those right through the panoply of time. But then I want you to see what he says about these things. He says all these are the beginnings of sorrows. And that is to say that these things here, the word sorrows there, is a word that is used, it indicates birth pains. These are the beginning of birth pains. And you know, with the birth of a child, that when the birth comes near, that the birth pains come more frequently. And I think that that's what we see as we approach the end of time. We find that the wars are more frequent. It is said that the 20th century had more wars than any other century. That has been tabulated, and that is a fact. It has had more wars than any other century. We have had many wars in this century already, in Iraq, in the Middle East, and so on. There have been these wars that have been taking place. And the same we find with diseases. You think of SARS, bird flu, swine flu, MERS, all of these diseases that have been spread through the world over the last number of years. And now we have the coronavirus. And it seems that these things are getting more frequent. And we find that the disasters that are taking place in our world, they are getting more frequent. And maybe there is an indication. The birth pains, the sorrows, are getting more frequent as we go on. These, he says, are the beginnings of sorrows. But the basic point that I want to make today is that we should be careful about the signs. There are different signs here. There are the signs, the present signs. And then we're going to come on to the prophetic signs in a moment. But many people have made mistakes and tried to predict when the Lord will come. Or they have said, well, Henry Kissinger was the Antichrist, or President Nixon was the Antichrist. And in many ways they have discredited the prophetic message of the Bible because they have been making wrong predictions. So we need to be careful that we adhere to what the Bible actually says about these things. So there's the care to be taken with the signs. But then I want you to see the character of the end time signs. I want you to think about these prophetic signs now. And I want you to look at verses 29 and 30 of Matthew chapter 24. It says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So these are the signs immediately preceding the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the first sign is the preaching of the gospel. Look at verse 14. It says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. So the gospel of the kingdom must be preached to every nation in the world. It must be preached to all peoples in all places. And that's the great incentive for the church to go out and to reach the lost. Now in this day, many peoples, many nations have been reached with the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. There are tribes here and there that have not yet been reached by that gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But with technology, with radio, with all of these things, many people across the world have heard the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But it has to be spread through the whole world before the end comes. And I want you to notice the gospel is preached. There are those that seem to think that there are different kinds of gospels for different dispensations. But he says this gospel, the same gospel, will be preached throughout all the world. The Bible indicates that the wickedness of the age, it says, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Nevertheless, while there is that departure, the gospel will be preached throughout all the world. Then I want you to see the second sign here. Not only do we see the preaching of the gospel, but there is the plunge into anarchy. Look at Matthew chapter 24, verses 37 to 39. It says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And the words of the Savior there indicate the carelessness of people before that time when the Lord Jesus Christ comes. They will be unaware of their impending doom. Life will continue as normal. People will just go on doing what they want to do. Society will be filled with wickedness. And we're told in Genesis 6 and 5 about the days of Noah, and God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Wickedness, bloodshed, violence. And this is a society that is a wicked society. This is a society today that has rejected the Savior. It is a society that is in rebellion against God and against his laws. And we think of the introduction of same-sex marriage, the push for the murder of abortion, the turning of God's law upside down in this country. And we have a day in which there is unrestrained materialism. Men are eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. And we think of how there is that wickedness that seems to pervade this day and generation. It says there that they are marrying, and actually that word could be a reference to cohabitation, not to lawful marriage at all. We read about Herod in Mark chapter 6 and verse 17. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother's, Philip's wife, for he had married her. Now that marriage was not legitimate. So the word marriage, married there, sometimes has a reference to an illegitimate marriage. And we have that in our day and generation in so many places. It's a day on which we have a plunge into anarchy. But then there's another sign of his coming. The predominance of apathy. Look at Matthew chapter 24 verses 12 to 13. It says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. The world's hatred will produce that spirit of treachery even among professing believers. They will succumb to the world's agenda. We have had that even this week with preachers. T.D. Jakes has succumbed to the world's agenda. They are seeking to fashion themselves according to the world's agenda. You have that in apostate Christianity all around us. And you know, we recognize this spirit of apathy, the spirit of carelessness that it has gripped the people of God, even in this day. You think of Luther and his testimony. He said, here I stand, I can do no other. Where is that kind of attitude? Where is that real zeal for God in this day and generation? There is apathy, carelessness, that will mark the last days. And then there is a profanation of the holy place. Look at Matthew chapter 24 and verse 15. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. There's going to be something called the abomination of desolation, and it will stand in the holy place. Now, to the Jew, the holy place was the holy place of the temple. And we think of how Daniel speaks about the abomination of desolation being put in the holy place. And the abomination there speaks of a material thing, and it is in this inner sanctuary of the temple. So here is the abomination is an idol that was set in the temple. When the Lord Jesus was writing this, the Jews would have been familiar with this because Antiochus Epiphanes had done something like this just before the times of the Lord Jesus. He had profaned the temple. And this is what we are told will herald in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, that means that the temple has to be built. I remember being in Jerusalem when we were down at the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall, and I met there an Orthodox Jew. And he brought me into the synagogue, the place that they have there, and he told me that they were raising money to build the temple in Jerusalem again. As we passed through the streets, we saw some of the temple furniture. We saw the menorah there that was already made for the rebuilding of the temple. It's the intention of the Jews to rebuild the temple, and there will come this day when this abomination of desolation will be set there. And it says that when that abomination of desolation is set up, those who are in Judea will flee, or should flee, to the mountains. It says in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." And we see the movings towards this in this day in which we live. There is that profanation of the holy place. And then there is something else. There is a great persecution and tribulation. Look at what it says in verse 21. "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Now, we have been told about the earthquakes and the famines and the rumours of war and the pestilences, and they are the beginning of sorrows. So if those are the beginning of sorrows, how dreadful will this time of tribulation be? Because it says that there is nothing been like it from the beginning of time, even nor ever shall be. So this is a great time of tribulation. The abomination of desolation is set in the temple, and we read how that those who are able to see the signs are to flee to the mountains. And it is their business here to flee at that time. And the Antichrist, who will be in vogue at that time, will be in full power, and he will come against Israel. And it says in Zechariah chapter 13, verses 8 to 9, it says that it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God. And look at how severe it is. It says in Matthew 24 and verse 22, it says, "And except those days should be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved." And you notice the sphere of the tribulation is around Jerusalem. It says it's the days of Jacob's trouble, so it is specific to the Jews, but also God's people are there at that time, because it says that it will be shortened. It says in verse 22, "But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." Who are the elect? They are the people of God. They will go through. We will be there at that time. I remember when we were in Israel, that our guide was a Messianic Jew. And I remember hearing her speaking to somebody, and she was saying that we do not recognize anything about this secret rapture that many Christians adhere to. She said that we are looking for the signs that will come. She said, if I'm alive when the Lord comes, will be one of those that will have to flee to the mountains and have to flee for my life. And that is something that the Jews, the Messianic Jews of this day and generation, adhere to and stand by. Another sign will be the poison of apostasy. Turn to 2 Thessalonians 2 verse 3. He says that ye should not be so shaken in mind, soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letters from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there be a falling away first. The word falling away is apostasia. It is apostasy. We see that in this day, the ecumenical movement, the liberal agenda that has been foisted upon us. It says in 1 Timothy 4 and 1, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter days some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It's a day when there are many false Christs and many false messages. And there is that falling away that we see. It is an indication of the fact that the Lord is coming back. Then there is the proclamation of false Christ. Look at 24 to 26. And there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. False prophets, so showing signs and wonders. And we got that in the church in this day. We see something of the character of these signs. But I want you to see lastly the coming that fulfills the signs. Look at verses 29 to 30. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Notice the timing of his coming. The verse is very specific. It is immediately after the tribulation. That means that the tribulation is at the end of the age. But I want you to notice when the Lord appears. He appears after the tribulation. A great many of God's people have the notion that the Lord will appear before the tribulation and lift his people secretly out of the world so that they do not go through the time of tribulation. That is not what it says here. It could not be clearer. It could not be more specific. The saints are not secretly raptured at this time. They are taken to be with Christ when he comes. But when he comes is after the tribulation. That's when the rapture takes place. And it's not a secret rapture. It is with the trump of God and with the voice of the archangel. It couldn't be noisier. It couldn't be less secret. Look at verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other. When does the Lord gather his people? When does he sound the trumpet? At the end of the age, when his people are caught up to meet him in the end. That's when this takes place. But notice the terrors that preceded. It says the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall not give their light, and the stars will fall. Men and women, the power of heaven will be seen. God will shake the earth, the very foundations under which men, or upon which men are standing. You know, in many ways, there are people today who are shaken over this coronavirus, the things that they've been depending upon, and the things that they thought were sure have been taken away. And you know, sometimes God has to shake us. And you know what the Lord says? He says, therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Tell me, are you ready? Are you ready for that hour? The Bible constantly urges the child of God to live in the light of his coming, because all of these signs can be fulfilled in a very, very short period of time. Are you ready to meet the Lord? Are you ready for his coming again? May God write his word upon your heart for his name's sake. Let's just bow and close our meeting in a word of prayer. our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we thank thee that we can meet with thee afresh today. We thank thee for thy precious word. We thank, Lord, of the certainty of the coming of Christ. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints. Bless, O God, as we contemplate these things. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we ask these things. Amen.